The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 25 verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Despite his absence, Steve's sermon series on the pathways of accessing God continue. Today, we'll return to this sermon series called 9 Sacred Pathways Connecting to God. In the first sermon, we saw that a sacred pathway is a way that we connect with God, a way that we love God in response to the way he loves us. In the second sermon, we looked at the sacred pathway of wonder. Those included naturalist, sensate, and traditionalist. Today, we deal with the next 3 sacred pathways, which are the sacred pathways of contemplation: ascetic, contemplative, and intellectual. The church can be a busy place, lots of activities and things to do. Some people who are wired that way thrive on that activity and find their fulfillment with God there. But these scheduled programs, and we are not criticizing any of them, can fail to make a space for silence, reflection, or repose. There are people who need space to process what they are seeing, hearing, and learning. Some of Jesus' followers needed time to ponder the truths they encounter in Scripture or elsewhere. They need time alone to meet with God and enjoy his presence. Those who walk the pathways of contemplation find their minds are quickened by the presence of the Holy Spirit as Scripture comes alive, theology unfolds, truth inspires, and meaning moves their hearts. As they meet with God in times of silence, solitude, and study, they sense God's presence and hear his whispers of love, grace, hope, and truth. The sacred pathways of contemplation open them up to communicate with God. The first of these sacred pathways is that of the ascetic. An ascetic Christian is one who feels closest to God when they are alone with him, freed from distractions and all of those activities that make our heads, hearts, and bodies spin. We need to understand that when solitude is forced, not chosen, it creates loneliness, which is pandemic in our society today. When it is chosen, it creates spiritual intimacy with God. Jesus frequently sought solitude. He often went away to a quiet place to pray. Often it was a mountain, and at night when the world slept. before his greatest test, Jesus found comfort in the dark in the Garden of Gethsemane by himself, kneeling and deep in prayer. It is the ultimate picture of Christianity, of us struggling spiritually as God aligns our will to his. There is a time and a place for the role of solitude in every Christian's faith journey, not that just for those who travel the sacred pathway of the ascetic. This sacred pathway has three dimensions. Firstly, it is the dimension of solitude. We have somewhat dealt already with what solitude is about. It is about meeting God in that quiet place, a home chapel, at a country retreat, sitting up late at night or getting up early in the morning. But to leave you feeling that solitude is all about externals would be wrong, because solitude is not just about having a physical space where you meet alone with God, but an inner space, a space in your heart. A space in your heart that you can go to for refreshing and renewal, even when the world around you gets too busy, too hectic, too pressurized. That is the goal of the spiritual journey of the ascetic, to create that inner space. The second dimension of the ascetic is austerity. Ascetic Christians are distracted by their senses, so they try to shut them out. Ascetics do not look for spiritual stimulation. Susanna Wesley, who was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, raised a large family, but she craved an austere and solitary place where she could meet God. So she had a chair in the kitchen by the stove, and when she pulled her apron up over her head, all of the children knew not to disturb her. She was meeting with God. The third dimension of the ascetic is strictness. A strict faith can seem very close to legalism, and in some cases it is. For healthy ascetics, however, strictness is a cherished method of expressing love towards God. Ascetics live strict lives of self-denial so that they can be free to contemplate God. Without self-denial, sins of the flesh arise and make it difficult for the Christian to commune with God. Somewhat surprisingly, this strictness with self is marked by gentleness towards others. Ascetics have an important lesson to teach the church and society. Seeking God entails some sort of separation from the world, even if that separation is expressed solely by inner detachment. The carefree life lifted up by celebrity magazines often results in a poverty of spirit. Ascetics testify to a higher life, a life of the spirit. Ascetic practices keep us on the right track. They help us to move further down the trail, regardless of what our main temperament might be. Our next sacred pathway, the pathway of contemplation, is related but different from the sacred pathway of the ascetic. Both seek silence, but the contemplative seeks an emotional connection with God rather than a spiritual connection with God, as does the ascetic. The contemplative feels God's love and compassion more than most, and they seek it out. Contemplative Christians feel closest to God through adoration. They want to enjoy God and learn to love him in ever deeper ways. Once again, we see in Scripture King David as being an example of a contemplative. He says in Psalm 63, "You, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." With these passionate and earnest words, David fulfills the charge given to the community of faith in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Often, we think Christianity is about being obedient to a set of rules, about doing the right thing, believing the right things, with the main goal being going to heaven to be with God when you die. But Christianity is so much more than that. Christianity is primarily about intimacy with God, and obedience flows from that intimacy. To enter the devotion of the contemplatives, Christians must begin by emptying their lives of those things that choke out our desires for God. These may not necessarily be sinful things. Too much busyness on its own will effectively kill contemplation. In order to practice contemplation, it is important to practice cultivating the quiet. In his book, What is Contemplation?, the spiritual giant Thomas Merton writes, "The fact remains that contemplation will not be given to those who willfully remain at a distance from God, who confine their interior life to a few routine exercises of piety and a few external acts of worship and service performed as a matter of duty. God does not manifest himself to these souls because they do not seek him with any real desire. Success in the pathway of contemplation begins with having that real desire for God that Merton writes of. It is impossible to understand the contemplative apart from the motivation of love. When we say that the contemplative seeks God's presence, we do not mean an experience of actually seeing God's face, but of experiencing a knowledge of his presence with them. There are many forms of prayer and activity that contemplatives can use other than general contemplative prayer. Contemplatives use instruments like the Jesus prayer, centering prayer, listening prayer, sacred symbols and stations of the cross, amongst many other ways to connect with God. The unique contribution that contemplatives make to the spiritual pathways is that they can help us to see the importance of loving God and not just doing the work of God. The final sacred pathway of contemplation is that of intellectual. Just as it was in the pathways of wonder, that the pathways of naturalist, traditionalist, and seemed very different from each other, yet in the same camp, so it is that the pathway of the intellectual seems very different from the pathways of ascetic and contemplative, yet they are in the same camp. Ascetics and contemplatives all appreciate a quiet and rested heart, mind, and even body to enter into the presence of God, whereas for the intellectual, the eyes are reading, the hand is writing, the ears are listening, the mind is stimulated and the heart is jumping as a new concept, a new understanding, lands fair and square on it. A head full of information divorced from the heart is dangerous. But Jesus himself exalted the role of the mind as a sacred pathway. Remember that originally the command from Moses in Deuteronomy 6, chapter, verse 5, was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. But in Mark 12:30, Jesus added, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Don't be misled by the title intellectual. It has nothing to do with IQ or intellectual prowess. Rather, it describes those believers whose hearts are most warmed to God when, as we said before, they understand new concepts and gain new insights and increase their comprehension of divine and earthly things via the head. The head is the sacred pathway into the heart of God for the intellectual. A great biblical example of an intellectual is King Solomon. Much of King Solomon's wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs, but his wisdom wasn't limited to religious words of wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 4, it says, Solomon spoke about plant life, from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also spoke about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. And from all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. Solomon's pathway led him to the Creator through his knowledge of creation. The study of the scriptures, the study of Christian theology, the study of various academic disciplines like biology, mentioned before, can all draw the intellectual deeper into the heart of God. There are many Christian books, podcasts, sermons, YouTube clips, online courses, external seminary courses, and more that an intellectual can do to grow in faith. What makes the intellect a sacred pathway is that whatever you learn draws you closer to God. It is from this pathway that many of those who have led and shaped the Christian faith have come. So, to conclude, let's listen again to what was said at the beginning. Those who walk the pathways of contemplation find their minds are quickened by the presence of the Holy Spirit. As scripture comes alive, theology unfolds, truth inspires, and meaning moves the heart. As they meet with God in times of silence, solitude, and study, they sense God's presence and hear his whispers of love, grace, hope, and truth. And the church is enriched by these disciples who dare to think deeply, pull away from the crowd, and fully engage their hearts with God. Amen. Loving God, we thank you that we can approach you via many different spiritual pathways. Help us to, through this sermon series, to learn to access those ways to you that bring us closest to you and help us to learn ever more of your incredible love for us and for all humankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.